This is the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Sefer Tzafanya, Chapter 1, Perek Aleph.
Don't know what really happens at the end of the road. I don't know what really happens at the end of the road.
Our learning is dedicated to the brave Chayalei Tzva Hagana Israel for their safe return and for their success, for the swift return of all of the hostages, and the healing of all the wounded in this war in Gaza. Welcome to the Book of Tzfanya. The theme that dominates Tzfanya's prophecy is the description of the Yom Hashem, the Day of the Lord. And this is a day which he describes as a terrifying day, a day of judgment, a day that is quickly approaching. And Tzfanya doesn't speak in generalities. He targets the corrupt leadership. He targets the people who are worshipping idolatry. The word Yom, in one guise or another, Yom Hashem, Bayom Ahu, even more than that, Yom Af Hashem, the day of God's anger, Yom Evrat Hashem, God's fury comes up at least 13 times in the first chapter and the first three verses of chapter 2, which are essentially part of the first chapter. We have lines like this: Karov Yom Hashem Agadol, the great day of God is approaching. Karov Umaher Maod, it's approaching fast. Kol Yom Hashem Mar Soreach Shom Gibor, this will be a day in which the great warrior cries and shrieks. It will be Yom Evrah Yom Ahu, a day of anger, of fury. Yom Tzarah Mutzuka, a day of trouble and distress. Yom Shoah and Mashoah, a day of calamity and desolation. Yom Choshech Ve'afela, darkness and deep gloom. Yom Anan Ve'arafel, a day of cloud and darkness. Yom Shofar Utrua, a day of horn blasts and alarms. Ala Harim Absurot Vala Pinot Agvohot, on all of the fortified towns and the raised corners of the city. Vahatzerotila Adam, Valchuk Ivrim, people will suffer. People will walk like blind people. Kila shem chatau, because they sinned to God. Veshupach damam ke'afar, and their blood will be spilt like dust. Whoa, this is intense stuff. So this is a judgment day, an Armageddon day. This is pretty scary. What exactly have the people done wrong? Well, if you take a look in Pasuk Dalad and Hey, you read about people who have worshipped the Baal, Hakamarim imakwanim, priests of one sort or another. A Komer is usually a foreign priest to Kohen, our priests. Hamishtachavim al hagagot litzva shamayim, those people who bow on the roofs to the constellations of the stars. Vetanish mishtachavim anishbeim lashem, and even those who bow and swear by God's name. And he talks about v'asher lo bikshu et Hashem v'lo darashu. So clearly we're dealing with, on the one hand, a sense of idolatry, but we're also going to be dealing with a sense of lack of social justice. Oh, sorry, I missed out. In Pasuk Chet, they talk about haloshim malbush nochri, those people who are wearing foreign clothing. Maybe they're affected by foreign norms, and that affects their idolatry as well. And then, of course, we also have the lack of social justice. If you look in Pasuk Tet, Hamamalim Beit Adonihem Chamas Umirma, those people who have filled the houses of their masters with stolen goods and deceitful gains. We talk about in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Nichratu Kol Netile Kesef, those people who are going to be cut off are all of those who take silver. And if you look in chapter 2, verse 3, it warns the people, Bakshu et Hashem, seek God, kolan ve'yaretz, you humble of the earth. Hashem ishbato pa'alu, bakshu tzedek, seek justice, bakshu anava, seek humility, ulai tisatru biyom Hashem, maybe you will be spared on God's day. So this is quite something, this prophecy. God even describes the day as if he's invited. He doesn't tell us who. Pasuk Zayin, Ki karov yom Hashem, ki hechin Hashem zevach. God has prepared the sacrifice. Hikdish kruav. He has already sanctified those who he has called to his feast. In other words, he is going to sort of feast. He is going to make a meal out of these people, and he's going to search everyone out. And in fact, we have a pasuk here in Pasuk Yud Bet, which we actually use as a source for bedikat chametz, where we search out all of the leaven. But here, God is not searching for the leaven; he's searching for the sins of Jerusalem. Vayaba itahi, it will be on that at that time. Achapes et Yerushalayim banerot, I will search around Jerusalem with candles. Upakadati al anashim akofim al shimrehem haomrim bilvavam lo yetiv Hashem velo yarea, and God will pay back all those people who don't change, who just sit like wine sits on its lees, who say in their hearts, God will do no good or God will do no bad. God doesn't really affect our lives. So this is really very much the judgment day. So you're all wondering, what caused this? What is this? Who is this man? Who is Sefanya? And let's take a look at the first verse to tell us. Devar Hashem Asher Haya al Sefanya ben Kushi ben Gedaliah ben Amariyahu ben Chizkiyah mimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon Melech Yehuda. So first of all, Sefanya, maybe the person who is Tsafun, the hidden one, maybe the coded one. But he's descended from Kushi ben Gedaliah ben Amariyahu ben Chizkiyah. And at least some of the commentaries say that maybe he's descended from royalty. It's certainly a feature that he seems to relate to royal circles. In Pasuk Chet, he talks about the Sarim and the Bnei HaMelech. He seems to know Jerusalem very well. He mentions various places in Jerusalem, like in verse 10, Shar HaDagim. He talks about the Mishneh in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Machtesh, which all seem to be areas in Jerusalem. So he's certainly familiar with the aristocracy. He's familiar with Jerusalem. And who knows, maybe he is descended from the righteous king Chizkiyah. So that's fascinating. But the second issue is that he's prophesying in the days of Yoshiyahu ben Amon Melech Yehuda. And what do we want to say about Yoshiyahu? Well, Yoshiyahu is a phenomenally righteous king. Yoshiyahu comes after King Menasheh, who was king for 52 years, and then King Amon, who was king for another 2 years. And Menasheh's reign was one of phenomenal idolatry. The culture of Assyria had permeated the kingdom with all of its many gods and witchcraft, all sorts of divination practices. So Jerusalem had been in a very bad situation, and Yoshiyahu comes to the throne as a child king. And already early in his reign, when he's 12 years into his reign, he discovers God. He discovers the Sefer Torah as he renovates the temple and is shocked by what he sees in the Sefer Torah. And this really gives us a demonstration as how deeply Torah had been forgotten. He clearly didn't really know what was going on in the Torah. Now, at this point, there are prophets in town. Sefanya isn't the only one. We talk about Chuldah HaNevi'ah. We talk about the prophet Jeremiah. In fact, there's a statement of Chazal that Jeremiah would prophesy to those in the marketplaces. Sefanya would prophesy in the synagogues, and Chuldah would prophesy to the women. There seems to be a big burst of prophecy, and this goes along with the fact that Yoshiyahu engaged in a phenomenal and thorough religious reform, getting rid of all of the idolatry in the kingdom, so much so that when the Tanakh has to assess him, they say that there really was never a king like him. I'll read here. He says, in Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Ukamohu lo haya lefanav melech, asher shav el Hashem b'chol levavo, v'chol nafsho, v'chol me'odo, k'chol Torat Moshe, v'acharav lo kam kamohu. There never was a king who served God b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, according to all the laws of God. Never was there one who came after him quite like him. However, King Yoshiyahu didn't last very long. Unfortunately, he meddled in international politics. He went to war with Egypt. He was killed. And his religious reform was short-lived. It really only lasted something like 13 years. And as a result of that, the effects that he was trying to have on the nation didn't have enough time to sort of gain traction. And people subsided back into idolatry. We don't know whether Tzefanya is talking in the idolatrous years before Yoshiyahu's religious reform. Maybe even some of his words stimulated this religious reform of Yoshiyahu. Or possibly he's talking in the days of Yoshiyahu the Tzaddik, the righteous king, when many people in the higher classes of Judah have not yet turned back to God. On the roofs, they're still worshipping idolatry. Who knows? But what we're hearing here is that a Jerusalem which is full of idolatry, which is full of a lack of social justice, that what is coming round the corner, as we read here again, and I'll stress, Karov Yom Hashem HaGadol, the great judgment day of God is close. Karov Umaher Ma'od. That is the message of Tzefanya.